Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everybody, especially our visitors. We have a number of visitors with us today. We're very glad to have you. You are our honored guest. Glad that you took the time to worship God with us this morning. Have a prayer request that I'd like to address before we get into our lesson. Mark Eubank requested this. A friend of he and his wife for over 30 years, Randy Gast, has been in the hospital. He was contracted some disease from a mosquito bite, and it's affected his heart, lungs, liver, and kidneys. He just got out of ICU yesterday. I'm still in the hospital over there. And so we will take a moment and pray for Randy at this time, and then we will get into our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, thanking you that we can go to you in prayer. Dear God, we come on behalf of friends of Mark and Nathani, Mark Gast, that has been ill, very rare disease over in Thailand. We ask that you be with him, be with the doctors. We're glad that he's out of ICU. We ask that you continue to be with him, and hopefully his health will continue to improve. Dear God, be with all of us. We realize that our bodies are so strong and resilient, but yet so fragile at the same time. We ask that you be with him, be with all of us as we strive to do your work. Dear God, we pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Kind of very appropriate prayer and prayer request for the lesson that we're going to talk about today. The moment we enter heaven. There's a lot of things. That's our whole goal, is to get to heaven. And if it's not, you know, if getting to heaven is not our ultimate goal, I don't know why we're here today. Because we're wasting our time here if heaven is not our goal. But everything we do, the time we study, the decisions we make about baptism, the decisions we make about how to conduct our lives, et cetera, is all to get to heaven. And one of the things that when we get to heaven, that we will find in a moment's notice, less than a moment, one is all the negatives of our life is immediately over. The pain, the suffering. I know many, many of us, Daryl and I, helped a brother move some furniture yesterday. He's a Christian. We've known him for many years, and he's come down. He was diagnosed with ALS. And he was a healthy, strapping gentleman, and he's just a shell of what he used to be. And he needed some furniture moved around where he could get around a little bit easier, not able to even get up the stairs anymore. And, you know, many of us in here have pains. You know, the older we get, Daryl and I were talking yesterday. When we met each other, we were relatively young men.
Amen.
Now we're just old, broken down mules.
Amen.
But I know many of us, you know, have some pains, some aches, and where, you know, we don't get around as good. That's going to be over the moment we go to heaven.
Amen.
The worries, the tossing and turning in the middle of the night. Worrying about children, worrying about finances, how are we going to make it till payday? the worrying about health issues, the sadness, the loss. You know, this past year, we've had a number of our family members here at South Valley pass away, go on to their next stage. And they're out of pain, but there's the sadness and the loss for us. The hardships. I used to be surprised and angry when all of a sudden a hardship of life would come along. You're going along great, and all of a sudden, life smacks you in the face. Car breaks down. You have an injury or something like that. And then it kind of got to be to where it's not as shocking anymore that these things come along. And then it kind of gets to the point you're almost expecting it. You realize it's part of life. And you kind of, what's that old saying? Life's tough, and then you die. That's going to be over the moment we enter heaven. Amen. In 1 Peter, the Apostle Peter tells us, while we're here on earth, he reminds us, casting all care upon him, for he cares for you. To realize, yes, all of that's going to be done away with when we're in heaven. But while we're still here, God wants to remove some of those things from us. That we are a moment, at any given time, we are a moment away from communing with God, a prayer away from being in the presence of God. In Matthew 6, Jesus is teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink. That is a concern for some people. But he's saying, don't worry about that, nor about your body. What you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And then he goes on to make the comparisons about God providing for the birds and, you know, arrays the flowers and all that stuff better than even kings. And he ends up this thought in verse 33. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Our desire is heaven. And by doing these things, we can help assure that that's where we will end up. And the whole goal is seeking God. Psalm 55:22, we're reminded, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. That's comforting. While we're here on earth, to be able to do that, we're not going to have to face those things when we're in heaven. But you know what? God has given us some reprieve while we're here, while we're fighting that good fight, while we're running that race, to cast our burdens on him. He wants us to. Friends, that's what we do. We cast our burdens on each other. Sometimes friends cast a little too much burdens on us. And we have to say, hey, you got to stand on your own too. God wants us to cast our burdens on him. He wants us to turn to him. Isn't it so easy to try to, I'll do it myself? That's so easy to want to fall into that trap. I'll do it myself. And we realize we can't. God wants us to. Another thing the moment we enter heaven, all that we endured here on earth will have been worth it.
Amen.
We do a lot of things as a Christian. We do make sacrifices that maybe other people don't do. We don't necessarily think of it as a sacrifice, but we do make sacrifices. We do alter our life from what we used to live. Mm-hmm. You know, we put effort and work into things for the kingdom, for each other, for God. We face sometimes ridicule and persecutions. People maybe in the workplace. You know, we're the joke in the workplace. We're the Christian a couple of desks away. At school, oh, you're the Christians. The Christian family. It's all worth it the moment we get to heaven. In Luke 9:23, Jesus was talking with his disciples, and he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's a real selling point. Have we ever thought about that? We try to paint when companies are wanting us to join their program, to join this, to join that. They try to lay it out in an attractive way. To be a Christian, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Jesus. Jesus is not sugarcoating it. The people that do decide to follow Jesus know up front what they're in for. We do have to deny ourselves. We can't do everything we want. We can't do everything that the world says is acceptable. We have to deny ourselves. I wonder what they thought when he said this is before he was crucified. Take up his cross daily. What do you mean by that, Jesus? I bet it clicked afterwards.
Amen.
And follow me. It will have been worth it the moment we go to heaven. In Matthew 25, verse 21, it says, his Lord said to him, and this is the passage that Kent read earlier, Jesus is explaining the parable of the talents. In the context of this, and part of that, it says, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Isn't that going to be nice to hear? As we're entering heaven, well done, good and faithful servant. Everything we did, the sticking to sound doctrine, the sacrifices, the efforts we make will have been worth it. In Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is going through a passage here. And even though it does say it, I'm not thinking Jesus is actually telling people to go gouge their eyes out. I don't think Jesus is saying to go find your hatchet and chop your hands off, although he means totally that if that will keep you from sinning, it's worth it. And starting in verse 29, it says, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell.
Amen.
And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. The sacrifices we make are worth it. Jesus is not telling us to pluck our eyes out, because if he's saying also in this passage, whether you commit adultery, if you're looking at a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery. You can be totally blind and be lustful. You can not have any hands and be covetous. Cutting a hand off is not necessarily going to keep you from being covetous, you know, having covetousness in your life. But whatever it is that you have to do to make it to heaven, it will be worth it. Matthew 19, Jesus is explaining, for there are eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb. And there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men. And there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He who is able to accept it, let him accept it. The sacrifices that we make for God are worth it. In Matthew 10:22, Jesus says, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And then a companion verse to that is in Revelation 2, verse 10, where he says, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. The devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. That crown of life will be worth it. And the last, to wrap up our lesson, the moment we enter heaven, we will realize it was all about God.
Amen.
He was the center of everything. It was about him, not about us. That he was the focus. It's kind of hard to break away from that idea that it's not all about me. And the moment we enter heaven, hopefully before we get there, we'll figure that one out. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. All. With all your soul. And with all your strength. God deserves all of us. Why shouldn't he created us? Everything about us is his. John 14, 15, Jesus told his disciples, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's pretty simple, black and white, not a lot of analyzing. If you love me, oh, I love Jesus. Oh, I want to serve God. I don't want to do the things he says. But, oh, I love Jesus. Praise Jesus. But yet not do anything that he says. And wrapping it up, Solomon put it into some pretty simple terms as he is reflecting over his life, some of the pursuits he's made, some of the things he's learned. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. basically, when you boil it down, this is what it is. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. That's our purpose. And the moment we enter heaven, we'll realize it was about him. We sometimes get in our own way. The moment we go into heaven, the glory of God will be obvious. The lesson's yours. Hopefully, some scriptures to make us think about some things, maybe to rededicate ourselves. If you need to respond to the invitation through baptism, through repentance, if you're looking for a church home, if you've been visiting around some of the congregations of the church in town and would like to associate with us, we would love to have you. Whatever your need, if we can be of service to you, please come forward while Daryl leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.